For our Thanksgiving reflection, we're going to turn to the first 8 verses in the first chapters of the book of Philippians. I would encourage you to read using whatever language you prefer together with me. You can follow the words on the screen, or you can also follow the words in the printed bulletin on page 6. This is the Word of God, Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Let us read together. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affections of Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to hear that the Christian life is a journey, and there certainly is joy in the journey. The Christian life is a journey between what Bible teachers call the already and the not yet. On the one hand, already Christ has come into the world. Already, we are believers. Already, the Holy Spirit comes to help us live the Christian life. But on the other hand, not yet are we completely free from the temptation of sins. Not yet has Christ returned. Not yet has his kingdom been completely here. So we live in a tension. We live between the start of salvation and also the completion of that salvation when Jesus returns. So there is a lot of tension in this journey that we call the Christian life. We face a lot of trials, difficulties, and troubles. We are in the middle of economic recovery. But we know that some people have for quite a while been sensing fear about their future and their job. Some of us have faced difficulties in our health. Some are struggling with loneliness. Others have spiritual trials. So we know that as believers, it is not easy. The Christian journey involves suffering and trial, and we should not be surprised at that. Just because we are believers in Christ, we are not automatically immune to hardship and frustration and stress. But we also need to know very clearly that the Christian journey is also a life of joy. That is one of the very central messages in the book of Philippians, a letter which Paul wrote from prison in Rome to the church in Philippi. If you read this short book from cover to cover, you would find that the word joy is mentioned 14 times. More frequently in this book, the book of Philippians, than in Paul's other books. And Paul clearly says in the book of Philippians that joy is a mark. Joy is a mark of the Christian life. The book of Philippians has a lot to teach us about being joyful, being people of God who are filled with thanksgiving and adoration from time to time. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of us here today need more joy in our Christian life. Paul discovered that God actually has already made a number of things available to him, things to gladden his heart, things to lift up his spirit. Where did Paul get his joy from? From the body of Christ. In the beginning of this chapter 1, Paul introduces us to Christian friendship. A lot of Paul's happiness, joy, fulfillment, and satisfaction and encouragement come from Christian friends. the body of Christ. I would suggest to you that friendship is a very important thing for believers, for Christians. One of the sad things that we hear from Christians from time to time, it doesn't matter which church you go to, is that they are not finding the friendship they want. They are not finding the friends they want. No wonder they can really connect with deeply. They have gotten to know a lot of people, but there are very few that they know as personal friends with whom they could encourage, with whom they can talk freely, and with whom they could share. And so gradually these believers, because they don't have a lot of close friends, they would drop away from church, from God, and also from faith. Paul tells us by way of thanksgiving. He began his letter by giving thanks, and specifically, he gave thanks to God for the body of Christ. Know what he says in verses 3 to 5. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. Very clearly, Paul thanked God for all that the Philippian believers meant to him. He remembered his friends, especially his Christian friends in the church in Philippi. And when he remembered his friends, he gave thanks to them. And when he gave thanks to them, he found that he experienced a lot of joy, and he can continue to pray for joyful hearts for them. Paul appreciates the importance of brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And so out of his appreciation, when he prayed for them, he naturally chose to focus on the positive. I wonder how many of us could say the same thing about our own prayers when we pray for other people. Perhaps in our prayer, we tend to focus on the negatives. Perhaps we pray that, you know, God would help so-and-so, or that we would pray that he would correct something in other people, or that we would pray to ask God to make the other people more to our liking. Here is something that we can learn from Paul on a daily basis, that when we pray, particularly when we pray for other people, we should focus on the positive, because that is going to gladden our hearts. Whenever you pray for someone, begin by thanking God for them. Begin by thanking God for them. We can thank God for the role they play in your lives, for all that they have done for you, and for the things that they have done for other people. We can thank God for them, and we can thank God's love for them. We can thank God because they are brothers and sisters in Christ. There are so many things that we can give thanks to God for our brothers and sisters. Even if you are having conflicts with this person, we can also thank God that he or she is giving you the opportunity to grow spiritually, to learn forgiveness, to be more patient, and so on. And if you really try, like Paul has done on so many occasions, the Bible guarantees that you can find something positive, something joyful, and something to be thankful for in just about anyone. George Patrick, one of the 10 greatest preachers of the 20th century, once shared this encouragement note with his people. He said, you know, when he prays for people he has difficulty with, this is basically how he prayed. He would ask God to bless that person whom he foolishly regard as an enemy. He would ask God to bless that person whom he foolishly regard as an enemy. He would ask God to keep this person in God's favor, in God's grace. And he would also ask God to put away his own resentment, his own feelings of dislike. This is how he prayed. He would pray for God to bless this person, to keep him in his grace, and also to put away any resentment that George Patrick may have. You will find that in many of Paul's letters that Paul typically gives thanks to God when he prays for the body of Christ. It gives him great joy, great encouragement, and great satisfaction knowing that, you know, their friendship is a friendship in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they share a common bond because of the gospel. In verse 5, he mentions that, you know, they have a partnership in the gospel. They are together. They are co-workers. And they are fellow workers in the gospel. They serve together, they have a common vision, and they are co-workers under the same Christ. When in your prayer and when in my prayer, we give thanks for other believers for sharing in the kingdom work, God says we will experience joy from above. So besides thanksgiving, Paul also discovers that he can give thanks to God for on a daily basis. He can become an encourager himself because of the joy in Christ, because of verse 6, confidence. Paul goes on in verse 6 to say that another reason why believers, you and I, can be joyful all year round is because of our confidence. Not in ourselves, not in the church, not in the world, not in our president, but our confidence in God. Verse 6, being confident of this, that he that is God who began a good thing or good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Some people consider this verse 6 one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible because it is so uplifting, so inspirational. The passage tells us that whatever God started, God makes sure that he himself finishes it. God would finish whatever he started. Isn't it amazing to know that God would cause us to persevere to the very end, to hold on to our faith, and also to see him face to face when we leave this world, all because of his love and his commitment to us? Not by your power and not by my power, but all because of God. God would finish what he started. When we think that, you know, we have to keep struggling in our faith, actually it was God who all along has been supplying us the strength and the encouragement that we need. You probably have noticed a few little things, you know, that we can give thanks to God for, you know, in addition in this verse. Number one, Paul tells us very clearly that God takes initiative. God takes initiative in starting his work in us. He's the one who began a good work in us. Salvation always begins with God. God makes the first move. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that the moment we were born running away from God. But somehow, God took the initiative to look for us, to find us, to restore us, and to make us into his children. Secondly, it is also comforting to know that God takes personal responsibility for finishing or completing the work he started in us. God has a good work in you and in me that he wants to use. Nothing can ever block his working. Nothing can ever block him from accomplishing the divine purpose, which is to make us mature, men and women in Christ. And God will not rest until he is done. Perhaps you have seen those buttons, you know, with the cryptic letters, PGP, GIF, W, MY. Basically, it stands for a bunch of words. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. We can thank God, as Paul did, that it is so true. You and I may not look like much, but God isn't finished with you, and he's not finished with me yet. He keeps perfecting us. He keeps turning us into men and women of beauty, of grace in Christ. And when you look in the mirror, and even deeper into your own soul, you may not like what you see. But no matter, God is not finished with you yet. God is going to keep chipping away at us until the beauty of Christ be fully formed in us. If you find yourself in the vicious cycle of frustration, stress, personal defeat, be encouraged. Be encouraged by this verse. For God is not finished with you yet. He has given us great hope, and he continues to work out his salvation in us. And some of us probably have noticed, you know, a third observation, another reason to be thankful, to be filled with joy. That is, God guarantees the outcome of his good work in us. Not only does God start the good works, God continues, he also guarantees the ultimate success. He will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ, as part of this verse reads. It means that God would not be turned away. He would not be stopped. He would not be discouraged by difficulties you and I may be facing. God is determined to make us shine as his people. Someday you and I are going to stand before Jesus Christ as redeemed children of God, holy, blameless, and perfect in every way. Today we are a far cry from that, but a better day is coming for the people of God. What is complete will be made complete. What is incomplete will become complete. What is unfinished will become finished. What is broken will be fixed. What is hurting will be healed. What is weak will be made strong. God has promised to do it, and God cannot lie. Be glad, be joyful, be encouraged, because God will complete his work in us. But we find that Paul gives us yet another strong reason, incentive to be joyful. That is affection. Once again, he comes back to the body of Christ, to his Christian circle in verses 7 and 8. It is right for me to feel this very way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul was again thankful for believers, fellow Christians, who share in the work of the gospel. He gave thanks because they were encouraging to them. He has them in his heart. He gives thanks because, you know, he knows that they all share in the common grace of the Lord Jesus. He gives thanks because he knows that it was God who put this affection, this warm feeling, this fellowship in his heart. And God can testify to that. Can you say something similar about someone or some other believers? That like Paul, God has given you a sense of affection, a sense of joy, and a sense of love for these other brothers and sisters. It may be people in your family. It may be people at your workplace. It may be other people in the church or other places. Paul says that as believers, if we turn to God and we take the body of Christ seriously, God will turn this body of Christ into a powerful force of joy for us. As I look through these verses, the thought hits me that the world can counterfeit this, but the world can never duplicate it. This is why people go to bar hopping, go to bars, hopping to meet that special someone. It is also why they join clubs and social organizations, why they serve on community improvement groups, and why they go to chat rooms on the internet, because they were looking for close friends. Men and women need this kind of deep relationship, but they have no idea where to get it. Today, in this passage, Paul tells us that the only satisfying relationship is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That if we want that kind of affection, we want that kind of friendship, it only comes from a personal, growing relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because those who know the Lord Jesus are joined, bonded together in a very special way, deeper than any human relationship. How could Paul feel so joyful, so positive? One thing we are sure, it wasn't because of his circumstances. We know that when Paul was writing this letter, he was already in prison, on trial for his life. He was physically weak, and he was from time to time under attack from other Christians who distrusted him now because he was behind bars. Paul definitely has many reasons to be angry. And yet, from page to page in the book of Philippians, Paul speaks about joy, thanksgiving, gratitude, confidence, and the deep affection he felt for the Philippian believers. Although his situation was not ideal, but by God's grace, Paul refused to let it control his emotion. Question for you and I. Which is harder, to be in prison or out? Probably many would say that it is harder to be in prison and easier to be out. That is a quick answer, but it is not necessarily the right one. The correct answer is, it all depends. It all depends. I know people behind bars who are truly free and joyful because they have discovered the life-changing power of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus who loves them. And I also know many people who are free in the sense that they are not in jail. But yet, sadly, the chains of bitterness, anger, lust, despair, greed, and a whole host of other sins enslave them on the very inside. Joy does not come from our situation. It does not depend on circumstances, but on a living relationship with Jesus Christ. If you do not have joy now, do not blame it on your situation. They were never meant to bring you joy in the very first place. However, if you build your life on the Lord Jesus, you are going to find that Jesus can again and again energize you, satisfy you, encourage you, and gladden you from day to day. Many years ago, I learned a little acrostic based on the word joy, J-O-Y. There's actually a song that goes with it. It makes a lot of sense, and this is how the word in the songs go. J-O-Y, J-O-Y. This is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. It is true, it is also simple and profound. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. You find that when Jesus is in your life, when he's first in your life, you can have joy that goes beyond all circumstances. You would find that if you know Jesus Christ, you have discovered the power for true happiness. You would also find that when you build your life on Jesus Christ, you will never be disappointed. This Thanksgiving, what are we thankful for? For family, for the holiday, for reunion, for the food we are about to enjoy, for the start of a great shopping season? What are you thankful for? We hope that you would have many reasons to be thankful for, but especially, that the most important reason why you are thankful for is because you know Jesus Christ. You are building your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you have been feeling unthankful because you have been feeling fearful. You are anxious. You are alone. You are bitter. You feel turmoil inside. And you want to leave that behind. Somehow you want God to be in control of your life. In a few moments, we're going to close in prayer. And if you want us to pray for you, I would ask that you would raise your hands. God knows that we need joy. God knows that the only solution or the only person who can guarantee us joy is Jesus Christ. If you do not have that joy in Christ, this is a good time to come before God face to face, heart to heart, and ask God to look into your life, restore it, and grant you new joy, a joy that is based on a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, I invite you all to pray. Let us bow our heads. Let us close our eyes. Let us come before God, who listens to all hearts. Our gracious Father, you know what you are doing in our lives, even when we don't see it and do not fully understand it. We thank you because your purpose in Christ is always to give us your joy and peace. We thank you because you keep loving us no matter what we are going through. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may experience Jesus in a deeper way. We pray especially for those who before you raised their hands, for those who have lost that joyful feeling you promised to all believers. We ask you to touch them and to show them the way and restore joy in their lives. It may be depression. It may be a difficult relationship, perhaps pressure at work, feeling lonesome, family or health concern, or maybe we are too focused on ourselves or that Father, we have fallen in love too much with the world. Whatever the reason, we are sorry. And we ask you, O God, to help us rediscover the joy and power that come from a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us wings to soar on high like the eagles. We thank you, Father, for you are greater than our circumstances, our defeats, and our suffering. Enable us to be patient and to be joyful as you complete the unfinished work of making us like your Son. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, giving you thanks. Amen.